Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. Welcome back to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, your favorite podcast for a quick pick-me-up or giggle as you think about dealing with what is for most people their largest financial instrument. And today, from the city of Atlanta, Georgia, who currently is doing some corporate shilling for Better Homes and Gardens, which is one of the fastest growing brands in the industry. So this is Tim Herr. Tim, tell everybody hey.
Hi.
So, I mean, give me the ground rules before you tell us your really crazy story. They're really basic ground rules. You can't name names. You can't give us an address. And that way, if the people in your story happen to hear about it, only they can identify themselves. The rest of us will just laugh at their anonymous expense. And you know how delicate I am. So don't drop F-bombs or GDs, but any other word goes.
Oh, Joyous. You don't know me yet.
I know you so well.
I know.
You're
I know.
All about the Westin, so it's all good. So here we go. Okay, so Tim says he's got the best story you've ever heard. Tim, tell everybody the craziest thing you've seen in real estate.
Sure. So let me take a step back just so that I can clarify and just put some ground rules on myself. I am still a licensed realtor. However, I am now with Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate on the corporate side. I do. So now my clients are is now brokers instead of clients, right? So I have to deal with crazy and very fun brokers. I love the company that I work for. And so right now, this is a story that I'll tell when I was actually selling real estate, because right now I don't sell. I'm on the corporate side again. And I think I called you when this happened and when this all went down in tears several years ago. I have a small independent firm. And, you know, we always focus on a little bit of global, always a little bit of international clients. It's always fun working with celebrities and very high-profile clients. So I'm going to change a little bit of the terms and change a little bit of, you know, some of the details so you can't find the property. Because, again, I'm dealing with some celebrities. I'm dealing with a very, very well-known house as well in Atlanta. So it was a short sale. We won the bid, several million dollars. My international client was paying all cash.
Yay.
Can't complain about that. And so everything that could go wrong with this deal went wrong. For example, 72 hours before our closing, my client informs me we have about $500,000 down in earnest money. We have half a million down in earnest money, and my client informs me that there's, you know, he needs another week to bring the rest of, we're short about $1.2 million. And of course there's international regulations in bringing money over, but it's a short sale. So the short sale letter expires, let's just say Friday. So we have no choice but to close by Friday. So I'm frantic. My client's going to lose $500,000. The seller is very upset. Everyone's just very upset. So through the power of networking, and this is the reason why I'm a very big advocate of going to NAR and expanding your knowledge, expanding your friendships, right? Because I called a lot of my friends, and through the power of the Asian Real Estate Association of America, AREA, which I'm a very big advocate of, as you know.
Yes.
I was able to get my client $1.2 million hard money in 48 hours to my client. I was very lucky because, again, the people who lent me the money trusted me. They all knew who I was. They were able to do research on the buyer and the seller. And I was doing appraisals. I was doing, like, you know, all 48 hours.
It's still a miracle that any of this happened.
It's a miracle that I got $1.4 million. I think I was crying. I was like, you know, where do I get $1.4 million? $1.2 million? Like, how do I get $1.2 million in 72 hours? Like, what's going on? So long story short, Georgia is an attorney state. So we went to the attorney's office at, you know, 6 o'clock, closed, everyone's all happy. I got my client thinks I'm like the wonder child, you know, again, it's 10 years of real estate, right? You know, the longer you are, the more relationships you make, the more they trust you. But because it was such, you know, there was so much so many things up in the air, we had allowed the seller as well to give him some time to vacate the house as well. So although we closed on Friday, the seller wasn't supposed to leave the house. We allowed the seller to stay there for a few extra days.
Red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first red flag was actually closing at 6 o'clock for a short sale. And I asked that closing attorney, I was like, I'm a little concerned closing at 6 p.m. for a short sale for several million dollars. And he said, don't worry about it. So, of course, you know, everyone's happy. My client thinks I'm an amazing guy. Oh, by the way, the interest on that 1 month, $1.2 million, is $200,000, by the way. So the note was for $1.4 million, but that's the only loan on that's the only note on the property because everything was paid cash. So, so everything went downhill from here. So the closing attorney decides, he's like, you know, he goes on vacation. I found this out later. About a week after closing, again, the seller still hasn't left. I get a call from the closing attorney saying, hey, Tim, the lender has rejected the short sale because they rejected my wire because I sent it on Monday morning, and the closing and the short sale letter expired Friday. And again, this is several millions of dollars. We couldn't get an extension because obviously we tried because of my client trying to bring the money internationally. So the lender was not accepting that. We had closed. It's not like we closed an escrow. We closed. So there was a title policy issue. There was everything issued. This was not our fault. But then now the seller found out. The seller was like, I'm not leaving this house. Because now we don't know what the heck's going on with this house.
Oh.
By the way, my client is still paying $200,000 in interest. It's like, what, $8,500 a day in interest? Right? So we had to get our attorneys involved. He had to get his attorneys involved. The seller had to get his attorneys involved. Everyone's attorneys, there's probably like 8 attorneys involved with this transaction. We finally got word like two and a half weeks in that the lender gave up. Said, you know what, we'll let it go through. We don't want to deal with too many parties insurance. Even though we were ready to file titles. I mean, it was just, can you imagine? And the closing attorney had no idea because he was on vacation for a week that the multi-millions of dollars was just sitting in his escrow account. You would think that, hi, why do I have so much several million dollars in my escrow account?
Friday at 6, he said it's all good. We're good.
There's no problem whatsoever. So we resolved that issue. Well, the other issue is that while my client borrowed $1.2 million with a $1.4 million note, and he got the money in the country within a week, but now he's like, I'm paying $200,000 regardless whether I pay this off in a day or if I pay it off in 30 days. I'm not paying this off until the 30th day. My reputation's on the line because, you know, of course, I got this money for him in 48 hours using every single person that I could think of,
yes.
Right? They're all using it. It's my reputation on the line. I'm begging my client, please, for the love of God, just pay this off. Pay it off. He's like, no. And I know he has the money here. So it's not like he doesn't have the money. So, of course, the guy who's the hard money lender is like, Tim, your reputation. Where's my money? Where's my money every day? Because my client's international, so he doesn't speak English. So guess who's calling? He's calling me. So, of course, the 30th day he pays it off. I mean, this guy was ready to just go insane. But the funny part was, what my client doesn't know is the lender was like, hey, if he doesn't pay it off, I want you to resell it because there's so much equity in the house because, you know, 1.4 is a lot of money, but the house is worth a lot more.
It was a short sale. You got him a deal because you're a negotiator.
Got him a deal. Yeah, that's true. Now we have an issue with the seller not vacating the house. And so finally we're like, you know what, leave. The house. The sale was accepted by the lender. You didn't get any money out of it, but you need to leave the house. My client's paying $200,000 in interest, he's saying it's not his fault. So finally, I think like the 40 something days later, you know, we're trying to, you know, we do our final walkthrough. He's taking every single chandelier out of the house. He's like, oh, I want money for every single chandelier. He's like, we're like, you know what? Just get out. We don't want the chandeliers. Just get out of this house. So for 60 days, I had to deal with trying to get my client $1.4 million or $1.2 million in 48 hours, dealing with an attorney that did not wire the money to the to the lender in time. So there was technically no. Oh, there was a sale that consummated. Oh, by the way, he sent the deed to the county too. So the deed was already recorded.
So everything was done except he ran out of time to send that wire.
No, he didn't. Yeah. He didn't send the wire in time, so they were just going to reverse the sale. And I don't really know how that works, but I'm assuming when you issue title and you issue a title binder, you're in my eyes. And the warranty deed's already gone for recording. I don't know how you're going to reverse that. But yeah, I had to deal with that. The buyer. So the buyer's still getting mad at me because the seller hasn't left the house. He doesn't know the U.S. laws. He just, like, called the police. I'm like, well, you gave him a little bit of possession time, but I also don't want to piss the seller off because he's already threatened to take everything and tear apart the house now. We need him to keep the house in a fashion so he doesn't kill the house. Like, you know, oh my God. Yeah, oh yeah. It was a lot of fun. That was, so, you know, when you work with international clients, you know, things can happen, but everything.
Yeah, happened. That can happen on a diamond house, but of course that happens on a short sale of all horrible things in the world.
Of a multi-million dollar short sale with international clients, with celebrity buyers on both sides.
They better be nice to you because you know all their secrets now. You could be spilling the beans, but look how nice you're being.
I know. I try. You know, the client, obviously, the client loves me. You know,
he should.
If you tell, we still talk, and you know, he's still a very good, He's a good, very good friend of mine. You know, but. Yeah, nobody else could pull, who else could pull $1.2 million out in 48 hours? You tell anybody to go do that. Granted, $200,000 in interest. My client didn't flinch. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, celebrities and rich people, what's $200,000 to them, right? For me.
That's only Tim Herr could pull that off. I couldn't pull that off, and nobody else I know. So this will be a Tim Herr exclusive.
I would say that anybody can pull it off as long as they have the relationships and the networking that they have done, and you maintain good relationships and networking, like you and me. And I think I called you crying several times.
I didn't know how to tell you how to find the money because that's out of my realm.
That's out of my realm too. Let me tell you, that was the first time I've ever used FaceTime and showing the lender the house, because the lender wanted to see the house because he didn't believe that was really the house that was going to be bought because it was a very very well known house. Mm-hmm. So I had to prove that this was the house. I had to do it, you know, and they sent their appraisers out there. And I laugh about it now, but.
You cried about it then.
Cried about it then. I mean, $500,000 in earnest money, mama, that's not chump change to me and you, but in my client, it would have been. He doesn't understand. Again, international clients, they don't understand contracts and law. They think that, oh yeah, we can just get an extension. Oh yeah, like, oh great, you got me $1.2 million in 48 hours. Oh my God, how easy, that must be really easy to him. You know, that I'm like, really? Really?
Sounds like your attorney, they were both like, it'll work out, no problem.
It wasn't my attorney, it was the lender provided attorney too. So, while the story may sound not as crazy with the amount of money that was involved with all the parties and so many moving parts, it's insane. It was very much a very happy moment when everything's all done and dandy, and we still laugh about it now because it's been several years. But me and the agent became close. Me and the seller's agent, we became BFFs.
Well, you know, that's the beauty of this. The relationships last far beyond the deal if you do it right.
That is true, and I was a savior in my client's eyes, so for several years, I got several contracts out of him, but of course, now he's very sad. He's actually very upset that I don't sell, but, you know, at the end of the day, he can put that kind of burden on somebody else.
You're his resource. You're still his favorite.
Oh, yeah, I'm still his favorite. When I go internationally, I always go and say hello.
Hey, and Tim. If anybody wants to follow you or know more about Atlanta Real Estate, or if they even just need a referral to a great agent who could do as much amazing work as you, how could my people find you?
Your people can always find me on either Facebook at by Tim Herr. Like, I'm related to Ben Herr, obviously the fictional white male character, Charles Heston. So you can't ever forget me, Tim Herr.
You're just
absolutely
younger than me on that side.
I'm not that young. I look, it's all the Botox, right?
Yeah.
So it's the Botox in the hair. You can either find me through Facebook or you can find me on Twitter at Tim Herr7 Or you can follow me on Instagram at Tim Herr as well. But obviously, I can definitely give you some insight and knowledge. I can't sell. I can't really do anything for you, but I can definitely put you in the right direction in Atlanta. There's a lot of fantastic people here.
Yeah, you're really lucky. You've got a really strong marketplace. But, you know, I think most of our boards have a lot of really good people, not just one everywhere, which is the best part of real estate, all the friends across the country and across the world.
You know, it's always about networking, and it's always about being inclusive. And, you know, that's the best thing about my job right now, right? Everyone's always asking why I left. And it's because, you know, I have a great, great, amazing CEO, Sherry Chris. No, I got to give her a little bit of a shout out. I know she does a lot, and I am now in charge of, you know, growing our inclusivity and the diversity within the brand on the corporate level. So that's, you know, that's my new job. So if you ever want some insight, if anybody wants some insight on how to be more inclusive with the different markets and like LGBT, Asians, Hispanic, the Blacks, and Latino markets, you know, I'm your resource. You know, I'm a realtor at the end of the day, so we all share our resources. That's how you and I became friends.
You're speaking my language, because I can't stand that talk about diversity, because that talks about silos. Inclusivity is the way to go.
Yes, ma'am.
My circle is big enough for everybody, and we're all better that way.
No, I mean, we're both from the South, so this hits right at home for both of us.
We know. I mean, we live in a diverse place, and we love each other, and you feed each other. It all works.
Mama, I thought I was white all this time anyway, because I went cow tipping, you know. I did the whole shebang. I thought I was white. I didn't know that I was Asian. I was Charles Heston. Charles Heston's little nephew, right? So who? Just, I'm Asian.
See, I didn't even notice you were Asian. You're just Tim Herr.
No, and that's why you love. That's why I love you too. But you do great stuff as well. So you know, who doesn't like Lee Brown?
Well, there's a whole list. We know we'll get. That's a whole different podcast for a whole different day. We'll let them have their moment.
You and I will talk offline about that one. I know, well, we do.
All of my listeners, thank you for taking the time to share your story. If you're listening to this podcast and you've got a crazy story to tell, if you're a consumer, a lender, a realtor, a broker, it doesn't matter. We love stories about real estate because it is the most powerful, emotional investment most people make. So let's laugh about it, learn from it, and get better at it. Thanks for showing up on the show, Tim, and I'll talk to you
soon. Absolutely.
For joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.